You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Are you just going to stand there eating that sushi all night? You haven't even looked at my photorealistic macaroni sculpture.
It's Who Arted with Creative Messiah, Amy Ralphini.
Awesome. How are you doing, Amy?
Good. Very good. What a beautiful day.
I know. So sunny. So today on Who Arted, we have curator Emma Jamieson from the Auckland Art Gallery Toyo Tamaki. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Good? Yeah. Awesome. She's going to give us a rundown on some upcoming events, the Walters Prize, the upcoming show of Lindahl's paintings, and Fashion Week related activities at the gallery.
Very exciting. With so much going on at the gallery at the moment, I thought we'd best get a wrap up to give us the lowdown. Mm-hmm. So thanks for coming in, Emma.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so many exciting things happening in a lot of places at the moment, but with the Auckland City Gallery, we've got the Walters Prize coming up next month, the big who wins finale gala, very fancy black tie event, which we're all very excited about. And then we've got a show of Lindahl's work coming up later in October, and then some exciting bits and bobs around Fashion Week. Can you give us a little bit of a rundown on how things are tracking along with the Walters Prize?
Yeah, so the Walters Prize will be on in the gallery until the 30th of October. But the actual winners of the Walters Prize are announced, as you said, at the gala on the 30th of September. So the Walters Prize is this really exciting art event that happens every 2 years. And it's really showcasing and celebrating contemporary New Zealand art. What's exciting about this year's Walters Prize is that there's a new option for the selected artists to actually create a new artwork that might be based on the original artwork that was selected for the Walters Prize. And that's the case of Lisa Ray Hanna, who has interpreted her In Pursuit of Venus Infected to focus on Tupai, who was a Tahitian explorer, and he made this really amazing engraving of a chief mourner. And so Lisa Ray Hanna has interpreted that theme of the chief mourner and has produced this really glorious and moving image work. The same with Nathan Pohio. He's actually showing the same work that was selected for the Walters Prize. But what's exciting about his work in this context is he's transferred, so he's made this big photograph of Māori elders from Ngāi Tahu, and that was originally in Christchurch next to the Bridge of Remembrance, and so now in front of the Auckland Art Gallery it's been installed. So there's lots of new links that can be made with the work in the Auckland environment.
It greets you as you walk towards the gallery. It's quite beautiful.
It's very striking.
And and Lisa's work is gorgeous as well. It's in a dark space projected with a beautiful slick floor which reflects all the imagery, which is quite overwhelming and stunning. And it's silent, which is nice.
It's quite striking, and what I find is really lovely about this Walters Prize as well, like, there's so many nice links that are made between the works in that space and also the new iteration of the New Zealand Collection shows on the ground floor, which is Opening the Past to the Ever-Changing Present is the collective title. And that the ground floor exhibitions all deal with the idea of history and contemporary artists interpreting that. And that's essentially what the four Walters Prize nominees are doing. And for example, Lisa Ray Hanna, Nathan Pohio, Shannon Te Awa's looking at interactions and engagements which can be linked to history.
Yeah.
And Joyce Campbell, her work is a really interesting exploration of the role of gelatin silver photography in early exploration in New Zealand in the 1860s.
And she's got a show up at Two Rooms at the moment,
that's
actually.
That's right, yeah.
Any particular standout for you, are you allowed to say?
No. I love all of the works, and I'm really interested to see what the outcome is on September 30th.
Just a quick question, which is I've been wondering, and you don't have to answer if it's too difficult with regards to internal kind of communications, but the new rule around the Walters Prize about being, I mean, not rule, but new condition that you can actually update your artwork, is there any connection between the fact that Lisa's work's going to be at the Venice Biennale? Is there any kind of, is that got any connection to that?
I'm actually not sure. Natasha Conlon was a curator, so she was closely involved with that. So.
Interesting, but it's great anyway. Yeah. So after an extensive public campaign calling for some lost Lindahls, that makes it sound very simple, to be returned, you guys are putting on an exhibition in October.
Yeah.
Can you tell us some more about what works we can expect to see and anything interesting that happened around that whole process?
Yeah, so the exhibition in itself is a really exciting project. It's been developing for quite a number of years. by previous Māori curator Nahiriaka Mason and now Nigel Borrell. They're working on it together. It will feature 150 portraits by Linda, and it will be amazing. And mostly Māori portraits, so the title of the exhibition is Gottfried Linda, the Māori Portraits. But there's some beautiful portraits of Pākehā, prominent figures as well. And Linda has such a special relationship to Auckland's history, and so... there was a large exhibition of his works in Lindau's hometown in Pilsen last year, but to have it all in Auckland, and there'll be lots of descendants of the people in the portraits who can come to the exhibition. I think that's really special. And yes, as you mentioned, we put a call out on The Guardian, and as a result, 36 bona fide Lindau portraits have come to light, which is incredibly exciting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And how were they did you need to verify them, or was it very difficult?
Definitely, yeah. Because Lindau, there's lots of reproduction prints of Lindauer's works, which can be bought quite easily. So our conservator, Sarah Hillary, is very experienced in working with Lindau paintings, because we've had Lindau paintings in the gallery since 1915.
Yeah.
And we've developed a very strong research base to clarify which works are by which artists.
Yeah.
So as a result, that's how we tracked down the 36 real ones. Yeah.
Were there any ones that were like, oh my goodness, this one's hard to tell? Here's the base paint stroke marks, and then we've got and maybe it's a fraud, maybe it's fake. Was there anything exciting like?
I wasn't too involved in that process, but I think what is exciting about it is that we've now added six of those newly discovered portraits to the exhibition design. So this will be the first time that the public will be able to see these works.
Oh, wow, how fantastic. Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So this Sunday, just quickly, you're doing a talk on... Oh, actually, no, it's next Sunday.
Next Sunday, yeah.
Sorry. Aligned with Fashion Week, around how fashion was used... to project personality and showcase status in portraits from the politically tumultuous environment of the 17th century Europe.
Yeah.
This sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Can you... And this is a little bit more in your area of expertise as well, sort of around the older kind of more historical art.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about this, well, the fashion of the 17th century Europe for a start?
I certainly can. So what I've been interested in 17th century textiles since actually at the University of Auckland. I took a Rembrandt paper with Erin Griffey, and I wrote one of my papers on Rembrandt's depiction of textiles, and it's actually such an interesting topic to research, because in the 17th century there was a huge anxiety around clothing, because there was the rise of the middle class, well, not middle class, but a new merchant trading class in the Netherlands. And what that did was it kind of blurred the boundaries between the lower and the upper classes. And so the upper classes started to get quite anxious, because dress was the means through which they could portray their status.
Yeah.
And if you've got a new merchant trading class trying to compete with that, you need to set some parameters. So there were all these crazy rules that were brought in to try and restrict who could wear what kind of fabric. So, for example, Queen Elizabeth I, this is in the 16th century, but she made a law that said it was only the aristocracy who could wear purple, because purple was made out of the most expensive dye.
I remember, I've known that purple is a royal colour.
Yeah,
yeah.
And, yeah, there's a reason for it. And then there was all sorts of, in 1610, for example, a British parliamentarian didn't want people to wear silk, because they wanted to build up the British silk industry, so they didn't want it being imported from France. And so there's this glorious quote that I will use in my talk, where a British parliamentarian says that God did not put humans on the earth to wear the excrements of worms. So by that he's referring to silk. So the talk will be looking at two portraits from the 17th century in the gallery's collection, and analysing what does it say about morality, what does it say about what the sitter wanted to say about themselves, and in the broader scheme of things, how does it reflect the notion in the 17th century that fashion was such a politically and socially charged tool?
Wow.
And there's this glorious report of how Louis XIV and Charles II actually had a bit of a Europe and Britain battle, and that was based on clothing, because Charles II wanted to distinguish himself from Louis XIV. And so he banned French lace and silk in Britain in about 1670. And then he brought in this new well, it was actually derived from the East, but it was this vest kind of attire.
Yeah.
And Louis XIV, what he did in response to that was he made all of his, I guess, coachmen and lower servants start wearing the vest.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Oh, so wonderful. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, oh,
that sounds awesome. So yeah, that's not this Sunday, but next Sunday.
Yeah.
And what time is that on, actually?
1 p.m.
1 p.m, yeah. And that's in the lower... Whereabouts is it?
It will be in the McKelvey Gallery, and I will be talking to the paintings directly, but there should also be a PowerPoint presentation, and I'll be showing some really glorious close-up shots of the details of lace collars and ruffs. And
that sounds awesome. I'm totally there. Right.
Awesome. That sounds great. Yeah, so definitely head along to the Auckland Art Gallery on Sunday the 28th, and that is, if you don't know, on the corner of Kitchener and Wellesley Street. You can head along to aucklandartgallery.com for more info. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you so much. It was really interesting. Thanks, Emma.
Ooh, I like this.
Trey chic.
Trey cool.
Touché.
Chin chin.
That was Who Arted with Amy Ralphini.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.